flyover state of film was shot in front of a live studio audience.
Eating me alive inside, like Scrooge, like Bill Murray style. Like, I'm just like, I don't not like this thing. Why do I say I don't just to get the reaction? I'm like, fuck.
And I'm like, how you should hit record. I hit.
Yeah, I did. This is going in. All right.
I want to get this. I want to get this in.
Get my emotions on screen.
This is bullshit.
This is powerful stuff, man.
Who's starting?
It's Brian's episode.
It's my episode, I guess.
All right, Brian. We got TJ's confessional to you. Lit us right into
it's all
your
an act.
Voice.
TJ, yeah, I mean,
how do I follow?
Like, it's
how
all
I
an
follow
act.
That?
It tears me up inside.
I'll let TJ cut it out if he asks me to, but this is a great intro. Brian.
So, welcome to the Dr. Phil Show, everybody. Oh, I'm sorry. Flyover State of Film. I'm Brian. I'm your host this week, I guess. We still doing that? I don't know. I feel like the show just, like, one person does the intro, and then there's no real host beyond that. It just kind of, like, falls
like, apart, oh, man,
every
you're
single
topic.
Week for 5 years. Never
topic!
Changes.
I
don't
have the energy at that point.
Anyway, I'm here with the boys. I'm done talking. I'm here with the boys. TJ, and to me, he's here. Yusef's over here. Joe's down here. I don't know what the lineup will be.
Who knows it?
Who knows? Once it goes up, I never know. But we got a great episode. You know, the holidays are coming. And I got a little gift in the form of an actually legitimately interesting looking video game movie. Who'd have thunk it? After only 40 years of existing video game movie, we might get our first good video game adaptation movie. And I'm talking about the Super Mario Brothers trailer. We got our second trailer dropped right before the show. We don't usually do current events, but why not? It's fun. I like current events. What do you guys think? Anybody else excited about this? Or is it just more shit on the fire?
It looked super fun, and it looked like a better movie than, I know we were kind of bantering about this before, but, like, Illumination, like, it's not the best studio.
If you look at their box office, it might tell you differently.
I mean, like, from a quality standpoint.
Right, we all know that makes most money equals best. Why are we starting this discussion?
But it looks really fun, and I was, my one takeaway from that trailer is the voice, like, I know the Chris Pratt shit, but, like, everyone else's voice, I'm like, oh, it's perfect. Like, Jack Black's Bowser.
Yeah, Jack Black's
very
really
into it.
I feel like they already give it away, which, I mean, I can't wait for. I said this in tweets. Check out at TJ Dex. But, like, the less Chris Pratt says anything.
Like, I would subscribe. I would subscribe now, though. I would subscribe now because now it's going to be very positive, very loving.
If you love movies like TJ,
thank you. As long as like he doesn't actually put together like a paragraph in the film, I'm good. Give him one-liners, give him the wahoos.
Supposedly that's his wahoo, and it's pretty good. It was fine.
Yeah, and I feel like that was actually a really good joke too. Give me another one.
That's the thing about the wahoo. It's not that hard. I didn't think Chris Pratt couldn't do it. He's a pro.
No,
Chris
but Pratt, I do we, feel
you
like...
You can hate on his politics or whatever, but the man's a professional.
I don't know who's directing this, but I feel like they're going to do something where they flip it to where, like, Peach is the actual main, like...
That's what it kind of looks like.
I was getting more of a Hook vibe from this, it's like... Yeah. He's the chosen one, but he doesn't really... He needs to, like, unlock it in himself. And Peach is going to help him get there. And then I agree that in the end, you'll realize... the final thing is, he'll help, but you'll realize that Peach is really could have done it all along or whatever. You know. But either way, I think it looks fine. It looks fun.
One thing I find funny about how you're like the wahoo and like that, it's like it's not that hard. It's the same type of shit when it's like you have the actors come out on these junkets with like a comic book movie. Like, yeah, no, they really nailed that brooding Batman character. They really had to respect the material. And it's like, it's Mario. There was not much there.
And I actually hope they ignore all the lore of the games because it's so weird and dumb, and I don't really know anything about it anyway. I don't care. The movie should have its whole own separate story. They can you know, pick and choose from the games what they want. Well, but it looks like they're gonna sneak in a little bit of Smash Brothers. They're gonna sneak in a little bit of Mario Kart. You know, you're gonna get the vibe of. Oh, I'm sure they'll get some Tennis Pro in there. Like I said, you're going to get a training montage where he plays a lot of the Olympic games and a lot of the Mario Party games. It'll be a part of his training.
Maybe battle Sonic at a point.
If you give me Mario on a fucking jackhammer chiseling his own face,
that'd be cool.
I'm good. I don't care if Chris Pratt has like a monologue worth 2 minutes.
Chris Pratt gives a monologue on why the breaks into a Shakespearean right.
Like. No, does anyone off the top of their head? I don't need like. You dig deep, but what are like the main voices? I know Jack Black's.
I just looked it up. It's Keegan-Michael Key is Toad.
Anya Taylor-Joy is Peach.
Which is like a really unique actor to put as like.
I was trying to like see if I could tell anything about her voice, like if I could pick her voice out when I was listening to Peach talk and her dialogue. I wasn't getting a lot; just sounded like girl dialogue.
Yeah.
To me.
Charlie Day as Luigi, which weirdly enough is the one that's gonna grawl me the most.
I think Charlie Day. I think that's good yeah. casting for sure. And
Jack Black, like doing like a character, at least from what we've seen the trailer.
Somebody else is playing. I think maybe Seth Rogen is Donkey Kong too.
Yeah, Seth Rogen Donkey Kong.
I have one complaint of the voice casting. And this is who people should be mad about. I looked at IMDb. Let's stop casting Fred Armisen in things. He sucks.
Yeah. I was just thinking about how, like, Fred Armisen got the most play, but he's, like, compared to Chris Parnell and Will Forte and some of the other guys that came out of that same era, he's, like, my bottom.
he always plays an obnoxious character, and it's, like, rarely, like, funny. And then I realize he's an abusive piece of shit. So, like,
or a loop.
Portlandia had, like, one good season. Fine. The best documentary episodes are the ones he's not in, you know?
I just, like, I keep seeing him on, like, things for the Wednesday, and I'm like, oh, he's Lurch?
I thought it was Pete Holmes at first. There's one I'm like, oh, this looks great. I love
that'd Pete be great. Holmes. I like Pete Holmes. I'm
fucking Fred Armisen. I'm like, god damn it.
Like, can we just stop Fred Armisen? I'm sure he has, like, four lines. It's, like, King Kong.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's be mad about that, and, like, not... our vague yeah. Chris Pratt rumors of like what he may or may not like tell his wife.
Well, and he definitely like endorsed that shitty candidate for mayor that people in LA wanted to win.
I can't get involved in California.
No, it's hard. It's, like, it's hard to get mad about the LA mayoral race, but it's like, why do I know so much about it?
Because Twitter, because we only follow people from LA or Ohio.
I know immediately when it's raining LA in LA. Or Ohio. That shit's fucked up.
Yeah. They're like, people in LA are like, oh my God, my favorite restaurant is closing down. We have to put an end to this. It's a landmark. And you're like, there's people dying. You were tweeting about fucking Mario two tweets ago. And now you're complaining about arrest. Like, stop it, LA Twitter.
It would be.
We should go protest. We should go protest. But you know, there's so many homeless people around that area. I don't think.
Right, it's gross. It's kind of gross. I don't really want.
But don't talk about it though, because I will shame you if you do mention the homeless. But we're all thinking it.
It's a child movie, dude. Why would we even talk about a kids' movie? Moving on.
Actually, now it's the unhoused.
Oh, okay.
If you want to keep up with terminology.
Nah, right. I mean, like,
it's not bum anymore. You can't say bum.
You can't say hobo.
No hobo. No bum. No tramp.
What about midget?
No, we definitely don't say the M word.
No, that's very
We should have kept terrible. Tramp. We should have kept tramp. That's a good. That's
tramp's
a good.
Fun, right?
Tramp. I thought that was like a mischievous woman.
That's kind of what it also became, but yeah. Tramp kind of like
gay was used to be happy, and now it's
well that's
tramp, like think queer? About Lady and the Tramp. It's Allie more Nick, he's more Allie like Nick a like a scoundrel kind of
I was gonna say another TJ one about cigarettes, but I think I'll get canceled. But
I remember when TJ and I went to Schmodown And we were driving over this gay fuck guy, and I think I called like TJ's like beard or something queer, and I mentioned in the true fashion, and the guy gave me this look, and I'm like, it wasn't offensive, my man.
They reappropriated it, man. It's back. It's okay to say queer again.
I don't know if TJ, you remember that interaction, but it was like, it's fine, guy.
Topic.
It wasn't
a slur.
We're doing topics.
Yeah, are we doing topics?
We got some topics. Who's got a topic?
Wait. I have a question before the topic, and it could go right into the topic. Speaking of archetypes, did the Fableman, I saw you tweet out earlier the week, did the Fablemans get a wide release this last weekend?
I have no idea. I didn't even know it got a release at all. I just know that it only made like a couple mil, so maybe it was limited release.
Okay. So I was like, oh man, that's kind of like huge.
No, that was just like literally that tweet was like my thought process because... Like, I'm just going to spit this onto Twitter because I don't want to research further. Mm-hmm. And so I did that.
I know what that's like.
That's fair. Okay.
I was like, the Fablemans came out and somebody was like, oh, look, it didn't make very much money. I was like, whatever. I don't want to see it. I'm not going to lie. I don't care.
I didn't even honestly didn't know it existed. I just Googled it.
I
want to
see it. I'm a
that's
sucker.
The new Spielberg movie. And it's like, yeah, we get it. Everybody loves movies. Yay.
I'm a sucker.
Kind of like this. Kind of like the fucking movie you made us watch today.
Wow.
It's true. Movies about filmmaking are awesome, especially when the movie they're making is so very bad.
Yes. Topic. Fucking topic. Topic.
All right.
Topic.
What was the archetypes? Yeah. So, Joe, you had something about... No, that wasn't yours. That was TJ's question?
That was TJ's.
Mine. You can tell how... I hope our viewers appreciate like the care that clearly goes behind the scenes of like planning the episode out and
Did you guys know that we actually this is our third recording? We do a run through, we do a dress rehearsal, and now we're doing the
We're like Bob Ross. We actually produce three versions of the same content every time.
We really, really nail down like the script. The banter, that whole random on TJ and I is like tripping the schmo down that
like,
may get edited out of this episode now that I think about it.
And
no,
all this thing that we're saying right now was part of the script too.
Right, that's what I was going to say. It's like the Ricky Gervais style of comedy where it feels like improv, but it's actually very tightly scripted, like super down to the minutia.
Yeah, all of Brian's interruptions are very clearly planned out.
Just like this bit. This archetype, let's kill it.
So I wanted to kill archetypes because, man, I watch a lot of... I've been on a roll of watching old movies, like 90s, 80s. I don't know, new movies. I guess I'm giving them a cold shoulder this year for some reason. Not many of them want me to go to the theater.
It's been a pretty good year for new movies.
I've not been to the theater at all.
Big horror, good horror.
Smile, I went to see Smile.
You're the only one.
No.
No, it did well. It did well.
It made a shit ton of money.
I know. It's crazy how much that's Kevin Bacon's daughter. And I was like, in the movie Smile, they like made her look so plain Jane. And then I saw her on a podcast and I was like,
all she has to do is let her hair down and cover up her big ears.
Yeah, she had a little lighter hair and like hair down look great.
She's going this though.
It's like Kira Sedgwick. She got those.
Oh yeah, that's her.
Like
that's her mother.
Yeah,
closer.
Your mom.
Like Elektra.
Right. Yes, absolutely. Just like
so,
her.
So Joe wants to cancel women from being in movies. Did I get that right?
Yeah, that's what he was saying. So
okay,
my
that's
pick.
Exactly.
That's an archetype Joe's done with.
My archetype that I think is more pervasive.
Bring back Shakespeare of women, of men wearing like drag,
More pervasive in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Now, not so much. But you still see it from time to time. And that is the asshole parent, sibling, brother, or I'm sorry, no, boyfriend, girlfriend, that is just legitimately a horrible human being. And towards
every character
the end,
in Home Alone.
Yeah, and then towards the end, they get a redemptive arc, and everything is fine. Like
so
I fucking.
You're taking
so every John Hughes
roles
movie.
Away from me.
Huh?
The only roles I could ever play, you're taking away. From
yeah.
Appreciate it.
No, you have to.
TJ is literally trying to start his redemptive arc tonight,
you're fucking it up. You have to earn it with multiple actions and movies tend to be like, oh, he's cheated on his wife and abandoned his kids, but today he brought the Christmas present, so he's a great fucking dad.
The one gesture that's like, oh, you're a good dad now.
Oh, we're good now. We're perfect.
Every John Hughes movie.
Every John Hughes movie, essentially. Yeah, that's. I think that's why that trope has been in my head so much, because we've been watching pretty much all the John Hughes. It's about that time, yeah. So that was kind of like the thought process behind picking that topic. So how about you guys? What, give me a trope, whoever wants to take
it. So it's not a trope, but Joe interpreted this one. Shout out. Woo!
Yeah. That's the shirt.
So, that's a new one, yeah.
Interpretation. All right, I got. We'll make a design.
How come our designs only ever have Joe's name
and
on
for
them?
The record, I don't come up with them. You guys come up with them, and then I just happen to be the hand that puts it together.
I was actually today, all day, I was wearing the Good Point Joe t-shirt.
We need to get that. We need to get a new shirt with right punctuation on it, though.
So, that's
a good point. Like, Laura got me last year for Christmas, like, a really well, nice, like, Flyover State of Fear logo, like, crew neck, like, hood, like a sweatshirt.
Oh, nice.
And I wear it. Someone's like, you got merch? And I'm like, no, this isn't. Don't buy this. This isn't out there.
Don't do that. Don't do that to yourself.
At that point, dead stock is worth money, dude. So once we get big, sell it.
All right, TJ, what's the trope?
It's not even like a trope. Yeah, I have the world's only DVD bunker shirt. I'm just hanging on to it until it goes
10
valuable.
Years. 10 years down the road.
Baby. My favorite one of the kind shirt is our Chucky Trilogy Harrison shirt.
That's a good one.
I wear that one all the time.
That's a good one. That's what
I'm in the dirty clothes right now because I was just wearing it too.
It's not a character trope, it's not anything like that. It's just a movie trope in general. I know we did this a while back, so I thought we were doing it again. Because guys, we dig into the bag and just go back into it. The hair shaving, blah blah blah. For me, I am so, and this is the biggest thing for me, because Thor: Love and Thunder was garbage. It's not a good movie. It's a fine movie, but it's not what the fourth Thor should be.
It's a very dumb, like, you can enjoy it on a very, like, entertainment level. Honestly, on the same level, I just watched the Guardians Christmas special. That's about the level Thor: Love and Thunder operates at.
Yeah,
I
didn't know that came out.
It was kind of jarring, because I watched Thor: Love and Thunder, and I was like, that was fun. Like, I didn't think of anything of it. And then the new Doctor Strange, and one is clearly a much better movie. Yeah.
I actually think the new Doctor Strange and the third Spider-Man were both really good. Yes. And I like, and despite Simu Liu being such a chode, I liked Shang-Chi too. I don't think Phase 4 has been all that bad, but I agree that, like, Thor: Love and Thunder is one that I watched and I was like, whatever, this is fine. And then the more I saw people talk about how bad it was, I was like, they're not wrong. Like, I can't, there's nothing to saying.
It's on the lower echelon of superheroes. Sure. So what's the trope, TJ?
Montages, any type of fucking montage.
We've been on a fucking side tangent, like heavy side tangent.
Yeah, man, it's a good episode.
Yeah, those are the best ones. Why are you trying? What are you doing?
What's happening back there, man? I'm so distracted by that door.
And there's a cat.
Why can the cat open your? Can you close the door or?
Is TJ back there? You're not TJ? You're just trying to fucking get out?
Like a montage of this, I'd be so sick of it by now, right? Right, guys?
Like, montage of tangents and just tangents.
I just don't, like, in the 70s and the 80s and even, like, going into, like, mid-90s, it was great. 2000, they did those every once in a while. Like, there's one in Blade, which I love, where it's him going different, like, stash houses.
But it's like a finger in the butt. Like, a well-placed montage is great.
Yes, that's actually an amazing analogy for that.
Well,
week.
No. TJ, finish your thought.
I'm just saying, like, everyone does it. The Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, they do it.
I didn't see.
They're killing it because it's only a 54-minute special, but they almost spend 10 minutes montaging half.
So I'm fine with that because I'm glad it's a 54-minute special and not like a 4-episode arc that is.
Yes.
Extended to the point where, like, what this could have been.
I heard special. That,
but I don't need James Gunn throwing up on paper because I know what he puts his mind to it. So I don't need him just going like, "Oh, they're gonna watch that." I know what he's doing. Star Wars special, CBS.
And welcome to our special guest of the episode, James Gunn.
I'll add to the fucking white hair.
Dude. I actually thought James Gunn.
I fucking hate his hair. Can I say that out loud?
Why do you just don't like his white hair? I like, you know, his hair looks a lot better on Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, yes. Johnny Knoxville.
Johnny has the face structure. The words of my wife
is just a dilf with his gray hair. Like, it really did it for her. Guys,
he looks so fucking dumb with that hair. But yeah, I'll add this. Like, a well placed montage is, and with good music is always fun. The montages that I truly fucking hate is the ones that at the end show me the fucking movie again. Like the things that we already saw. Like, oh, when they first met and when they first kissed. Oh, their first
that's mine. When we had that topic, that's my biggest pet peeve in a movie. I saw the movie. Hell. You don't need to show
you
me.
You don't need
movie.
To show it to me again. I literally so, just saw it.
It's in, you know what? What's funny is that it's in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Yeah. I was watching it, and he does it at the end. He's having his little flashbacks. It's like, it's but used to great effect there, but they do it as well.
Yeah, some of you use a good effect. Others are just like.
No, it's never too good effect. I saw the fucking movie.
Me and Yusuf are about or share a romantic kiss, but I have to remember like our first meet all our fucking, before we begin.
I will say my one big rebuttal to this montage conversation will be, and it just came out this year, which means good montages can still exist. RRR, the friendship montage where they're buddying up.
RRR, no, like I said, like
a well placed montage.
Yeah, TJ's not wrong, but like any trope, it can still be done well. It just has to be done with care.
Yeah. So mine is, and I did answer the question correctly this time.
Ooh.
The dumb stoner.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah.
I know.
We've
like,
definitely gotten
like,
away from it a little bit with pop culture becoming more pervasive.
Yeah. It's still there in the wrong hands, though. Yeah. Like. Yeah.
Like, did anybody ever watch any of that show with Kathy Bates on Netflix where it was like a dispensary or something?
No, I stayed away from the Kathy
I watched
Bates
literally
sitcom.
I couldn't get through like a half an episode of it. It was so terrible.
Dude, I couldn't get a half episode in of the new Santa Claus thing.
Oh yeah.
My wife hit play on it and both of us were like, "What the fuck is this shit show?"
You know Tim Allen. I feel like Disney
was
so like
bad.
That's
I think
amazing.
Disney was like, "Hey Tim, no, we didn't mean to diss you with like Lightyear. Like you're still our guy. What do you want to make?" And he's like, "I need to get the message out about the war on Christmas." So Santa Claus episode, and they were like, "Okay."
I think it was like we have this many contracted projects left with Tim Allen that we have to do, and if we do this show, it'll run out his contract, and then we can be done with him.
That's probably more it. But so because, you know, he only did it. It was like, well, we need a line in there that says, like, they don't even celebrate Christmas. What pisses me off about that is that the people like the Tim Allens of the world and, like, that era, they act as if, like, once millennials grew up, then their younger kids stopped existing.
Right.
So
there's
it's like,
children.
Like
there's still
Christmas
children coming.
Anymore. It's like, no, they still love it.
Shout out Brian earlier, the new, that 90s show trailer hit.
Yeah, sure.
So you don't get the stoner kid yet, but they have that one scene, like, I think the end of the trailer where they all do the circle.
Right, they get in the circle, which as well they should.
So I'm wondering if they take that trope and elevate it, or you're just going to get, you know, which more than likely, I know what you would do is another Kelso or another...
Yeah, they kind of show
it. I don't mind the dumb trope, but it's like all these, like done right. It's.
I'll tell you what. There's a guy I follow on Twitter, Andrew T. I had no idea he worked on this show, and he did. And he's not the type of guy you would expect to work on like a Netflix revival. So that gave me an intro. I was just like, okay, that's interesting. I didn't, you know, that means that their writing talent pool was eclectic to at least. So
yeah,
and I like it because I mean, as much as I love the 70s show, and I know a lot of you guys do too, it's. The cast members, it sucks to even go back because they're all problematic at some point other than the ones that we thought at one point. Topher Grace is actually...
Topher Grace ascends to...
And so I'm like wondering, do they bring... And I don't want to talk about like this show more than this, but like you can obviously only pick and choose maybe two or three people that are, I don't know, Prapon, Topher Grace, and maybe Kelso, Mila Kunis. That's about it.
Yeah, I think you can bring those back. Four back. Yeah.
They are coming back. They already said that. All of
them they'll do cameo.
They'll do cameo.
The only one you don't want to see is the Raper.
Hyde. Hyde's like,
yeah. Hey, man, you're going to get us kicked out of fucking YouTube.
And Wilmer Valderrama. Wilmer Valderrama.
Oh, the groomer?
He's a groomer, but, like, hasn't any criminal charges brought against him, if I'm
But he danced, man.
He's in Identified that came out not too long ago where he played, like, a decent role in that. So I'm like, I wonder if it goes, like, if he has a role, but, like, if you do, like.
No, I saw a whole, they're definitely distanced from whatever because they just want the show to be not that. Like, I saw. This was the
trope I want to get into.
I saw a talk that was, like, about Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher being, like, they were releasing shit to, like, tabloids to be, like, look how, like, charitable this couple is as soon as the day the Hyde stuff got released, like, a week ago. So they're, like, clearly peer on top of it because they're, like, buddy-buddy.
Bring back Seth Meyers' brother. I don't know who that guy
is. Josh Myers.
He's in this.
Randy. Was such a bad Bring episode. Back Randy.
They were like, we need to replace.
Justice for Randy.
Whatever happened to the oldest sister?
They need to replace Eric and Kelson. It's like, all right, we got one guy. We're gonna give you one guy, and he's gonna be half and half.
He's gonna be a mix. Joe, I'm sorry to report.
Looks like he's like 65 years old, and I feel so bad for him because I'm like, man, you got
she dead.
She passed away.
Yeah, it was a bad joke.
Yeah.
Did Eric and Donna get married at the end of that show? I fell off.
He came back from Africa. He shows back up for the finale. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Donna is like such an empowered character, and then in the last season they make her like a such a wimp.
They do that character real dirty in the last couple seasons of that show.
The last couple episodes, because she comes out strong. She's like, "Fuck Eric, he's never showing up. I'm done with him."
And as soon as that dick rolls like... into town.
Okay, so Brian, what is your trope?
Oh my God!
We're still Stop on the it. First topic, guys. First topic. My trope that I am sick of seeing in movies is
just burning
guy in the friend group who's like psychotic, borderline dangerous, but like everybody's just like, oh, this guy, little fucking Rod from Nightmare on Elm Street, or the guy, you know. There's always a dude in their friend group that's like you would never have in your friend group. Like you would excise this person. They are, you know,
like pig on the
that yeah exactly like pig. Maybe that's why it's on my mind because we watched a couple of horror movies recently.
Just to back this character up, I will say, fucking A, shut up, man, my man. But that character is the best you have like every other weekend. There are those guys.
Yeah.
Again.
Like, but you don't have them. They're not around as part of your regular friend group. Like, you know what I mean?
Like Stifler and American Pie. Like
yeah.
Those guys don't hang out with that guy, except, like, if they need to go to a party.
I'm going to have to respectfully disagree. And
the first one does set it up. For the record, the first American Pie does set it up that way, but that character was so fucking popular. Like, well, no, he's one of their best friends.
They just cycled it in, yeah. Now he's Chris Klein's best buddy.
Yeah.
As somebody that has become addicted to cutting out friendships, I'm gonna have to respectfully disagree that keeping toxic friends is worth every other weekend.
So would you rather?
No. I used to do that a lot.
Would you rather have the Ben Affleck character in Dazed and Confused, right? Or would you rather have the
McLovin? Oh, that's a good example too.
You know what I mean? Ben Affleck or McLovin, the guy who purposely fails out because
Ben Affleck.
Or McLovin. The guy.
No, McLovin, are you kidding me? That's not even a choice.
That guy's real. This guy isn't so real, but he does have a generational factor to where he does plug himself in here and there. I've had one of those guys in my group. And again, I'm from your typical football high school bullshit background where you have that guy be like, hey, can you go run in that trash can for everyone to have a laugh?
And I mean, those guys in high school. Yeah. And then today I like cut them out immediately when I like went to college.
Yeah. But, like, I feel like we're talking about a guy who's actually the high school guy. You know what
oh,
I mean?
No. It's the same guy. I guess McLovin at the end of the day, because that guy does normal out after a while.
Right.
Or also smarter than all of us and becomes, like, the...
And came through with the alcohol in the end.
Yeah, I mean, like, McLovin... Nailed it.
And he gets the girl in the end, too.
Hell yeah.
It's in. It's a great movie. Like it's truly like, it's truly one of the best comedies of all time that hasn't de-aged.
No, that's pretty solid.
My wife respectfully will disagree. She fucking hates that movie.
Oh, Alondra.
Yeah, I would agree that if you didn't, if you were just coming to it fresh in 2022, like, there might be stuff like, that's a little abrasive for you.
She fucking hates Jonah Hill's character.
Well,
like,
I just kind of hate Jonah Hill these days, so like.
I don't care about that.
Oh, DJ, do you want to talk about that real fast? Because you called me Jonah Hill the other day, and I'm very upset about that.
Why did I call you Jonah Hill?
It's I don't every day I wake up feeling like Channing Tatum in fucking Magic Mike, and you're like, you're more like Jonah Hill, and I go,
it's fucked up.
Yeah.
That's one of those days on Twitter where I have like good replies, and I'm like, this is good. This the fact that you're thinking about that, you remembered. Ooh, that makes me feel good.
That means DJ, it was a good one. That means it was a good one.
Yeah. I am okay. Yousef,
DJ, you're my Anthony Michael Hall.
Yousef, I'm showing way too much weakness in this podcast. Can we just maybe cut some of this stuff out?
I'm gonna leave everything. I'm gonna do a montage.
It's not supposed to be the alpha.
I'm gonna cut it into a montage. Hell yeah.
All right, Sean Bean Award topic.
This is TJ's award that he totally came up with.
That I thought of by myself.
That should be the shirt, a topic TJ, topic that TJ totally came up with.
I'm a whole new man, guys. So basically, what I was thinking of, Sean Bean gets the shit end of the stick in most films. So what other characters in films get that shit end of the stick? Does anyone want to start before I jump in?
Can I tell you, because of the way this episode's going,
no.
How I originally wrote my answer out? It has nothing to do with death.
Your interpretation?
Yeah, interpretation. James Marsden just always gets shafted as the boyfriend.
Oh yeah, he was like aside. The cuck of the early 2000s. Like and every movie that needed a well-meaning guy whose girl left him, boom.
And then James I finally Marsden. Watched, well, not just Sonic, but like watched him in 30 Rock as like Liz Lemon's guy, and I'm like, wow, this man's so charming and should just be the lead in every fucking movie ever. But I still think of him as like Cyclops and the guy from The Notebook. And
the guy who's Superman, raised Superman's kid or whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, that's how I originally answered it, but I do have a real answer.
You can't go yet. It's Yousef's turn.
I know.
So I have statistics that maybe we'll say to the end, but the one person that immediately came to my head when you said Sean Bean Award, and I interpreted correctly, was Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah,
that's
a lot.
The Quick and the Dead, Romeo and Juliet, Titanic.
Beach.
No, he's alive in Beach. The Departed, Blood Diamond, is it? Right?
Blood Diamond. Yeah. He died
in Blood Diamond. I don't think I ever saw it, so if he dies. Thanks Blood for spoiling Diamond. Blood Diamond, I guess.
J. Edgar and Django Unchained.
Does it really count when it's a biopic?
Yeah, everybody dies at the end of a biopic.
What about Body alive. Of Lies? Doesn't he die in Body of Lies?
No, he doesn't. He dies in Blood Diamond. He dies in The Departed, The Great Gatsby, The Django Unchained. So Romeo and Juliet, like it's at least 10 to 12 movies and where Leo just fucking dies. And technically he dies in the end of Shutter Island because he's going to get...
He gets lobotomized.
You know? Yeah, so the person that we know is going to die is technically, so I'll add that as a caveat in the end there. But Leo, at least in the beginning, he had like a massive run where every
Aviator.
Single...
Aviator?
Does he die in Basketball Diaries?
Yes. That's such a fucking hard movie to watch.
Never seen it.
Actually, never seen it.
Oh, well, guess what my pick is.
He ever get eaten in What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
The joke that I said 2 minutes ago.
He stays in the room with Mama and just burns.
Yeah, he makes great wine.
That's a hard fucking movie to watch.
Is it Leonardo DiCaprio pretending to be handicapped?
Oh, okay.
Ooh, we're gonna get into somebody who played a famed handicapped person later, so I don't want to tease it.
That is a hard movie. So mine is a father of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Do you think there's like a White's Eating Gilbert Grape wine line?
What's drinking Gilbert Grape?
Yeah.
A nice Cabernet Sauvignon.
A nice Cabernet.
Swallowing Gilbert Grape. Sorry.
Well, that's a they drink wine.
Keep going, just move.
So I actually have picked Leo's father in a film. De Niro dies a lot also.
Yeah, he does.
I have a list here. Joker. Bang the Drum Slowly, Hodgkin's Disease, Mean Street, Shots, The Mission, Shot, Cape Fear, Drown, Frankenstein, Burn Alive, Heat, Shot, The Fan, Shot, Shout Out to Flyover State of Film, Jackie Brown, Shot, he gets shot a lot, Great Expectations, Stabbed, 15 shot. Minutes, Stabbed and Suffocated, Hide and Seek, Shot, Machete, Shot, New Year's Eve, Cancer.
Wow. You know, guys, those are really good answers.
Cancer.
But unlike you said guys, cancer. I did not just search what actors die the most
often. Well, my answer originally was James Marsden, and it was nice and original, so
mine was Leo off the top of my head.
No, it's fine. It's fine. No, what came to my mind originally when TJ came up with this question, I guess I was going with more like Sean Bean level actors.
Thank you.
So, like, I didn't really think about leading men very much, but yes, like those guys Carol die Lynch. A lot. By virtue of starring in the most movies, those guys die a lot.
Yeah, doesn't star in a lot of movies.
If you steal my fucking
every guy, movie he's in, he stars in. That's a lot of movies.
I'm saying he doesn't have a huge body of work like Robert De Niro.
He's prolific. He's prolific.
I'm just saying.
Body a lot.
Are you saving the world, Brian? Are you saving the planet?
Yeah, I'm doing as much as Leo is just by not flying my private plane.
Are you now fucking a 27-year-old?
While I listen to music and don't look her directly in the eyes.
Is that the go-to move?
For Leo, you haven't heard that story? Supposedly, he just lays on his back and doesn't move, and he has noise-canceling headphones where he's listening to music, and he, like, does not, like, look or interact.
He's listening to the soundtrack of the Peach the entire
time. And she does the riding. She does the jamming.
He's listening, like a fun guy.
He's listening to The Revenant.
Real American Psycho shit.
He's like, Inratu told me that natural light is the only way you could get hard.
He's listening to the director's commentary of his own movie.
He's listening to his own Oscar acceptance speech on repeat.
Quentin Tarantino told me about feet, but I said that was too exotic for me.
It's just all his N-words in Django Unchained, just smash cut. All right, that's enough. What's your pick?
I do like, and that story, that way that goes, is that Sam Jackson told him to stop being a fucking bitch.
Yeah, just say it.
He's like, you took the role. Oh, do it.
Brian, say it.
Oh, Brian.
Well, I was just waiting around. I mean, let the tangent naturally die.
Yeah, who's
you can't let it, like, die on the vine.
I gotta let it wither up. Because if you feed it even a little bit, look, like, we fed it a little bit, and it's back now.
Scoop it.
No, my initial pick was a really much even more obscure guy, which is Leland Orser. You would know him as the guy from Seven who has the knife penis. He doesn't die in that one, but he does die in, like, The Guest and Alien Resurrection and just a bunch of other movies. I think he's in the Taken sequels. I think he might get killed in one of those. He's just a character actor that I've seen die a lot. And then slightly up the ladder, I was watching Beast, and I realized Charlton Copley is a guy who absolutely dies in almost everything he's in that I've seen. He's in Free Fire, and he doesn't die in District 9, but he might as well. He gets turned into a big bug.
You don't think that Charlton Copley stars in movies now? He stars in movies.
He stars in some movies, I guess.
Is he not the other one?
He stars.
Isn't he
Hardcore Henry? Chappie? Isn't he District 7?
Yeah. But that's the thing. He's the robot Chappie.
I feel like Michael Pena, you know what? Like his face. Let me exchange Michael my answer. Pena dies. Michael Pena dies a fucking lot.
Yeah, that's three of them.
Oh, Michael Pena is a good one. Adam Beach also. I bet there's a lot of minority actors you could put in here who die a lot. You could probably pick a couple. Adam Beach and Michael Pena are good examples. I bet there's other, because, like, they're always, or, you know, they're always just killing those guys off.
So really good, just a string of, I wish, yeah, that's better. Those are better choices than just, like, Leo and De Niro, because when you do look at a lot of main characters die.
Well, De Niro's in a lot of movies, so, you know, he dies a lot.
Still waiting to go.
I like how, though, I'm reading the list, and clearly I didn't read it when I copy and pasted it in. Just shot, 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 shot. Oh, what do we... You could even include Taxi Driver in that fucking movie, probably, yeah, because, yeah, like, I think he dies at the end of it.
How'd he die in that horror movie he was in, Hide and Seek?
He doesn't die.
It says he was shot.
Ah, dang. That makes sense.
Hide and Seek. What's your pick?
So my CJ, pick, I'm dying to hear your pick, man.
I went for someone along Brian's thing. I went for, like, a smaller character, but also you see him in tons of films. This guy has over 102 credits, and haven't seen them all, maybe seen 10. He dies in every single one I've seen. Pete Postlewaite.
That's a good one.
If you don't know who that is, he is the main T-Rex hunter in The Lost World.
He survives in that one.
He does, but he also dies in The Town. He dies in a couple other ones I have here.
He's in the Eon Flux movie. I think he dies in that.
He dies in that. He also dies in Yeoman, Red Mercury, Aeon Flux. I believe he dies at the very end of that. But yes, it's just someone you always see in a film that doesn't mean anything. You know his face. You don't know his name, really, unless you're someone as distinguished as me when it comes to film. Or Brian, if you ever seen the DVD bunker. But this guy, I've seen die everything. And my favorite part is he gets shot in the dick and dies in The Town. It's one of the best things ever. And he also has...
By RoboCop. You guys didn't know RoboCop's in The Town.
Yes, and he also gets probably the best line in Jurassic Park sequels, minus
that fucking
where he's like, I've been around enough death when he's offered a job to work in San Diego, and he's like, I'm good. And I didn't give it any justice, but check it out if you ever get a chance. If you haven't seen Lost World, you know, the second Jurassic Park. That's my guy.
And the second best Jurassic Park, too.
So I found a website that gave me statistics. Do you guys want to hear who are the actors that actually have died the most?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to give us something in a bar, guys.
So I'm going to go from bottom to top. So Eric Roberts has died 35 times on screen.
He's also in like 655
movies. Yeah. This is going to be the common theme. They've been in a shit ton of movies.
Guys, especially who just work.
Especially the top guy. When you hear his name, you're going to go like,
time out. We here at Flyover State of Film in our first year of production were offered to interview Eric Roberts. We didn't take
that production company
up on that offer. But they did send me that movie and I never watched
Could you imagine our trajectory if we would have gotten on the Eric Roberts bandwagon?
Now, shout out Eric
right Roberts, here where we are.
Chicago. I fixed his phone about a year and a half ago because his assistant brought it in and told me it was for Eric Roberts. So we have, you know, 6 degrees of separation there. Flyover City phone.
So you bugged his phone, right? We're getting ready to do some blackmail shit.
Could you imagine that that's not actually Eric Roberts' assistant, and she just likes to name drop Eric Roberts everywhere she goes.
She works for like an accountant named Eric Roberts. She just like throws it out there to see what happens.
The email they put for the appointment was
realEricRoberts@gmail.com.
You know the actor Eric Roberts.
No, really, it's me.
I'm going to impress this guy with star of screen and stage, Eric Roberts. You know, famous from the guy from The Dark Knight. No, not that guy. The guy who was the mobster.
He's in Tim and Eric Awesome Show, so he's a general. All right,
so Tom Sizemore, 36 times.
Ooh, nice.
Bela Lugosi, 36 times. John Hurt, 39. Boris Karloff, 41. Dennis Hopper, 41. Vincent Price, 41, and now for the top three. And this guy, I wish that I had, like, instead of Leo popping into my head first, this guy, because I've seen him die a lot. Lance Henriksen.
Okay.
He has died 51 times on screen. Christopher Lee has 60, and our number one guy, he has 440 credits on his name. Danny Trejo has died 65 times on screen.
That's so good.
The guy at that level, though, that's exactly what I was talking about. I wanted to be a guy who's like right there.
And to be, you know, to be inclusive, women, Sigourney Weaver, 12, Meryl Streep, 13, Pam Grier, 13, Glenn Close, 13. Jennifer Jason Leigh, 14, Julianne Moore, 17, and Shelley Winters, 20. The women don't die as often.
No. Still though, putting up some Michelle Winters, putting up them numbers.
Yeah. Topic.
Okay, so I have a game. This week we are doing a flyover sequel. So I am going to do a one sentence, just description of a movie, of a sequel, of a flyover sequel to movies we've covered in the past. Do know, because I don't want anyone getting too tripped up, it could be like, it doesn't just have to be like number two, it could be three or five, like just the next a movie within their franchise.
Can you explain that again?
So you guys have to guess the movie sequel from the sentence.
Okay.
But it could be any numbered sequel in the franchise.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Like if it's
use Urban Legend Final Cut as an example.
Yeah, so like you can't be like Urban Legend 2, or you can't be like Urban Legend 3, and I'd be like, oh, it's right anyway. But like, no, I need to hear Urban Legend Final Cut.
Okay.
Or like you can't be like you know, say it's the Meet the Parents, right? Say if we covered Meet the Parents. You can't say Little Fockers and be like, no, it's talking about Meet the Fockers.
You got to specify. Right, and it can be anyone. It doesn't need to be, yeah.
Direct follow-up.
Doesn't need to be a direct follow-up. Yeah. Got it.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what about and there's prequels? Only a few
are,
of them.
Are prequels in the mix?
Yes. Hannibal Rising.
Yes, there is one. There is a prequel answer. Prequels are in the mix. All right. And then it's going to go on when I say name that movie, as all games do. So let's start this game. They were already too old for this shit by time the one was added. Name that movie.
Yusef,
yeah.
Lethal Weapon 3.
Nope.
Oh, I know it now.
Do you have a list of our fire movies in front of you?
Brian.
I know it now. I know.
I think it's Lethal Weapon 4.
It is.
Yeah, the one with the
one.
The one key. Yeah.
I got it.
Is also a flyover movie.
Yeah.
That's what tricked me up. That's what tripped me up. Because I was like, is there anything else in the one universe? Does any other movie fall into the one universe?
I got into the one where it was, what's a guy who's in Roger Rabbit? And we just talked about him recently. Bob Hoskins.
I don't know why I immediately thought about Joe Pesci. When you said the one was added, Joe Pesci's like a main in the
story. So I was trying to write that question for Joe Pesci, and then I realized they weren't too old for Lethal Weapon 2, and my sentence didn't make sense.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, next question.
Hold on.
We gotta be fast with this one. Viggo the Carpathian didn't die to stand for this level of disrespect. Name that movie.
Yusef.
Yes.
Ghostbusters 2.
Yes.
Oh.
I should be too old right now. Fuck!
And that's why I gave the rule to specify we need the exact movie. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Next question. At least it has Triple H and Parker Posey. Name that movie.
Brian.
I heard Brian first.
That's Blade Trinity, baby.
Yeah.
Blade 3 Trinity.
I think it's just Blade Trinity.
It's just Blade Trinity. Next question. I've been a little too short and haven't watched these prequels yet. Name that movie. I could read the question again. And it's very me based.
Oh, so it's not
The
rapper too short.
Do you want me to read the question again?
Sure, give us a question again.
A question from you.
I've been a little too short and haven't watched these prequels yet.
Brian.
Yes.
Lord of the Rings, or The Hobbit.
The Hobbit is the correct answer.
The answer. I was thinking of Lord of the Rings as the movie, the sequel, prequels, The Hobbit. Uh-huh. I'll tell you what I'm realizing is I have no idea what movies we watched on this show.
That's what you're happened.
Winning. Yeah.
What happened with, because
I was
like,
at the house party and I'm like
too old for that shit. I was like, oh, Lethal Weapon.
Yeah, I'm just going. I'm just thinking. I was like, oh, yeah. What are some prequels?
All right, next question: is it worth it to have no bacon? Name that movie.
You said.
Yes.
Tremors 2.
Yes.
Yep.
We did 3.
So far, it's 3-2. Brian, Yusuf, TJ.
Yeah.
I'm pulling for you.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So I only have 8 questions, by the way. So we're just going to go at the end of them. All right. Next question. This one time at band camp, I glued myself to myself. Name that movie.
Brian.
Yes, Yusuf.
American Pie 2.
Yes. We are tied up. And I don't have a tiebreaker, so...
I'll lose on purpose. Don't worry.
I don't.
Unless I don't, and then I won on purpose.
Okay. This name that movie. This is next question. TJ is still waiting for this movie to be released and made. Name that movie.
Fuck.
Give it to TJ.
Yeah, TJ. What you got?
What is it, TJ?
Back in me.
Yeah.
All right, now this one is just me and Brian.
Yeah, this
now
is
we
the
don't
tiebreaker.
Have to worry about tiebreaker. Good.
This is the tiebreaker. All right. Jim Carrey refused to promote this movie because of the violence.
Yusef.
That movie.
Ah.
We both did
Yusef.
It. We both
TJ.
Did it.
All right, let me read it again. No, I don't like that. Let me read it again. And whoever beats the buzzer.
And but like, don't be obvious with
you
the name
do,
of the movie.
Now you should just do a wheel.
Play with it.
Okay. Jim Carrey refused to promote this movie because of the violence. Name that movie.
Brian.
Yusef.
I heard Brian.
Oh, fuck you.
Kick-Ass 2.
No, Brian was so early that one. You know, not early in a bad way. But.
It's Kick-Ass 2, and let me tell you, it's superior to Kick-Ass. I said it.
I do like Kick-Ass 2 a lot.
I forgot we covered Kick-Ass in, like, what, the our, like, fourth movie?
It's early.
Yeah, that's one of my worst picks.
It was your first. Your very first pick.
I like that movie. Anyway, so...
I thought that was a Joe pick.
No, it was a Yusuf pick.
Yusuf. You went Swamp Thing 2?
We never watched my first pick.
Yeah, we ended up doing the John Schnepp episode, right?
Yeah, and I'm glad we never watched my first pick because we didn't know where our show was yet, and it wasn't the show to cover British sleepy British comedies.
It wasn't Lucky Number 11, was it?
No, that was like a year or two later.
We still had to watch that.
Yeah, I get it. So speaking of sequel, we had to watch.
Brian,
this was my I was I made this. This is actually the when I did my little game and I was coming up with categories, like,
man, I should have won that game, man. I fucked up. It's Lethal Weapon 4.
You said 3 and I was like, no,
so close.
No, he knows better, but that's why I gave the rules.
I know
because I knew this would come up.
I'm fucking around. I just wanted to do a side tangent.
Brian being like,
he's trying to get another tangent going.
I envision Brian going.
Feed the tangent.
Just because it's American Wedding, American Pie 2, same thing. You think we're gonna do American Funeral?
All right, cut it out, man. So cut it out.
It's terrible. American Reunion.
Terrible.
Final cut it out.
Jason Biggs needs to eat.
Get it.
No, you said that was great.
Cut it out.
There you go. There it is.
Okay. All right, so Urban Legends, Final Cut It Out.
Come on, Brian. Why are you
Brian?
I'm back.
Okay. Yeah, dap us up.
So when we did the Urban Legends episode of Flyover, I was actually surprised to find I didn't own Urban Legends anymore. I went to be like, oh, I've got that on DVD. Went to my shelf. Not there. I don't know what happened to it. Any number of things. So just recently with the new Shout Factory sale that me and Joe both took the hook part in. I finally got a Shout Factory Blu-ray replacement, and I rewatched Urban Legend. And you know what? It's very good. It's one of the very, it's one of the good post-Scream, you know, kind of like new horror. It's a lot of fun. And I was like, hey, you know, maybe I want to watch Urban Legends 2 again, but I didn't necessarily know. So I made the little game, and it's what we landed on. So we ended up watching Urban Legends 2, and it's not good, guys. It's not a good sequel. It's a bad movie. Hart Bochner is looking like David Duchovny cosplay. The lead in this, I liked her better as a mentally challenged ghost in Stir of Echoes. I don't know, Eva man. Mendes. This is a bad movie.
Dude, I was actually, like, you mentioned that we watched, like, we, Joe picked this one for our show.
Early, yeah.
And I remember watching the movie and kept waiting for certain kills, and they were all from the sequel. I didn't know that I had the sequel mixed with the...
You must have been disappointed because there's almost no Urban Legend-related shit in Urban Legend 2 at all.
Except the kidney in the
bathroom. Kidney, the kidney. Yeah,
they... They talk about, but like, and they talk about a lot of them, but they don't, like, it's part of her movie, but none of the kills are related to it. None of the actual, like,
this movie is something that, like, maybe Brian can relate to. When I was, like, younger, like 12, 13, it was $2.50 Tuesdays at Lowe's or like AMC theaters. And you can go in there and basically they take your ticket at the very front and you can go in it either wing. And it's 13 just films all over throughout the day, 13 different theaters. This is the movie that we bought a ticket, I believe, for like something PG and then snuck into this. And it was like Anthony Anderson's fucking debut.
This was like early Anthony Anderson. I forgot that he got his start playing basically a black nerd and everything.
It was so weird to see him like so round. Like now he's like with the
Scary
beard
Movie
and...
3,
the first Transformers.
Malibu's Most Wanted.
First Transformer.
You get Anthony Anderson, who's in this one, and like all the different like TV actors you probably seen through like WB growing up and like those.
The guy who plays the other director, the guy that they kidnap at the end, that's Anson Mount, who's on the new Star Trek show, and he's Black Bolt in Doctor Strange and in the Inhumans. I had no idea. I saw him on IMDb.
Eva Mendes.
Eva Mendes, looking great.
Like 2 years before she kind of breaks it out in like Too Fast, Too Furious.
I was gonna say, is this before Training Day?
This is 2000 or 2001.
100% before Training Day.
So it's like,
it's probably like right on the edge though. Training Day is like 2001?
Yeah, so it's right there, but it's a movie that also, full disclosure, I fell asleep twice watching it.
Engaged in the first hour, like taking notes, and I was I'm gonna be so funny. In like the last 40 minutes, I maybe have two notes. Like, I fucking spaced fuck out.
I'll tell you, the only time I came back to life for the end of this movie was when Rebecca Gayheart showed up at the end to wheel Hart Bochner out. I jumped out of my seat to see a real murderer.
With the Hitchcock music playing.
Oh my God, why the fuck did they... I hate that they named the award the Hitchcock.
It's such a
because
great
you
stinger.
Hear the fucking Hitchcock name dropped 20... No, I wrote it down. Like, this movie was a whore about name dropping. Like, Truffaut, the next Spielberg. Well,
I did like that they did capture the pretentiousness of film school kids, though.
I tried to watch some of, I have the Scream Factory Blu-ray, and there's, like, they did the making, like, not a making of, but, like, a retrospective little thing. I watched, like,
did that for this movie. God bless them.
And it's funny, because they have one of the producers on, and she's trying to say it's bad without saying it's bad. She's like, yeah, maybe we shouldn't know. She was like, you know, the first one was such a hit, and, like, it's good, and it's surprise. She's like, and this one, you know, all I'll say is, like, maybe, you like, complicated doesn't mean good.
Yeah.
You know,
at the end, Sarah was watching it with me in that way that she watches flyover movies where she's kind of in and out a little bit. But like in the end, when they are like pretending that he's not the dead guy's, like, first of all, I immediately thought that it was going to be a twist that the dead guy wasn't really dead and that that was him. And then they actually play that out as part of their, like, trying to trick the dude at the end to admit to what he did.
They were so lucky, though, that the twin was just as tortured and depressed.
And had the same scar on his face right under his eye.
Every trope.
I've seen The Prestige. I get it. People love it. But, like, you know it right away if you've seen, like, just if you're late to it, which I seen this when I was earlier. But when I rewatched, I was like, when I was 13, I was like, wait a minute. Hold on. And you put it all together.
Then it's not. But then that guy really is dead, and he is supposed to be playing his twin brother, and you're like, okay. Also, Eva Mendes dies, and I was telling Sarah, I was like, look how she's hanging. Like, the rope's not even around her neck. She's clearly wearing a harness. This is obviously a trick. She's obviously in on it. And no, it's just that the movie's bad filmmaking, and it's just a shitty,
dude,
shitty
just
effect.
Like that. Wait. Let's cut to the shitty video I took. That's clearly like somebody behind the camera
with a dummy gun.
Guys, why couldn't they get somebody to actually karate chop him?
There's a reason why.
They were like, we only had one shot with that broken thing. Like, it's done. Just put someone in there and go like this.
So funny.
There's a reason why this movie has a direct to third in the series, but it's just the name Urban Legends, then Bloody Mary.
But it has
nothing to do with the like first two. They were just like, well,
Rebecca Gayheart to come back.
No, they were like, we just have the rights.
Rebecca Gayheart teaming up.
No, they were just like, we have the rights to this Urban Legends tag, so let's make a Slender Man movie.
But if this movie came out like today, like obviously it's a sci-fi movie, it's
YouTube.
Netflix fucking costs.
No, it goes straight to TikTok. That site that you guys use a lot.
TikTok.
But
streaming site that you guys use a lot. Shudder. That would go straight to Shudder.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm saying, like, Shudder Originals. Took advantage of the name, got some pretty, like, to be honest, obviously there's jokes can be made about most of the actors in this, but there's, like, five legit actors in this.
No, Oop. It's the cast is fine.
Maybe two. Eva Mendes and the other guy that we'll talk about. But I'm saying, like, this movie took advantage of having the very first film that came out after Scream.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much money it made.
Vicinity, and just earned money. How much did it make?
Oh, the first one was a $100 million movie and had a $13 million budget. Like, it was a
Yeah, and this success. One probably... Well, this one has that Blair Witch feel where it, like, feels like they took a script and adapted it to, like, make it an Urban Legend sequel like they did with Book of Shadows.
I always remember this movie being a blockbuster, like, the cover being a blockbuster eye catcher because of the fencing mask.
I was just going to say how stupid the fencing mask is as a horror... Like, I get the blank face thing is creepy, but when you see a wide shot, the fencing mask makes their head look so big, it looks like a bobblehead. Like, it's very silly.
It used to, weirdly enough, like, sit on the shelf same way and catch my eye, like, the director of, coincidentally, Urban Legend's second movie, Valentine, with, like, the baby Valentine mask would catch my eye on the shelf. Yeah. So would the, like, oh, that's the one with the fencing mask. Maybe that's creepy because I'm, like, nine.
It was the one where it was the clear one with the makeup, like, over, like, the blue eye shadow.
Oh, Mom.
Like, that one works kind of, too.
Yeah. That's in, like, one of the older ones. That's Alice, Sweet Alice.
It was weird, like, cheap.
Or Bloody Alice or something. Yeah. Alice, Bloody Alice, or Alice, Sweet Alice. I know what you're talking about.
There's nothing now that you can really do that would work because now we're so used to, like, having leather masks where it's like Freddy, Jason, the whole where I can put Chucky mask on now and be Chucky, but be hey.
I like the fencing baby. Mask I like is such the a baby winner. From Happy Death Day.
Yeah. It's a fun one.
And I'll tell you where they're still doing good mask work is over in WWE, man. Bray Wyatt is still doing scary, cool mask work. I'm not following as closely as I used to, but he's doing some good stuff over there.
I've always found funny about movies is when they do a sequence where, like, it is shot, edited, multiple camera angles, sound effects, lighting, everything done, and then suddenly somebody says, cut, and you're like, actually it was a movie.
You and they're on a fuck. And they're on like a $5 set where like nothing like, you know, you had the full-on like fuselage of a plane. Where did you film that?
It was a production. It was like fucking Spielberg. And then suddenly it's like just like this, oh, and the director calling her like, I've seen porn actresses that are better. It's like, I've heard, I've never seen a porn movie. But I've heard that those actors are very good at acting. So I don't know. Is that true, guys? Can you comment
on
that?
Absolutely. I mean, from what I've heard from my more perverted friends. Yes,
you know, from the friends that you talented. See every other weekend.
They really...
Time out. What's that? I don't know. I don't want
to
be...
I want TJ to go, what's this pornography you're talking about? I've never heard of that.
You tell people to get naked and have sex on film?
That's great acting.
It's one of the first things anybody ever recorded. It's so funny how porn is the first thing that anybody does with any new thing. Yeah. Like, did anybody see, it was going on around on Twitter, it was like a Greek clay pot, and it was just people fucking and sucking, and just like dudes and like men and women jerking and it was just...
I had no idea what X was. And I was like, oh, Pearl gets all these great reviews. I'm like, let's just see the trailer for X. I was like, I'll watch this by myself eventually. You know what I mean? I'll watch it someday.
Hey, Brittany Snow. Yeah. I've all been looking forward to that.
Shout out to Brittany Snow. Can we talk about, you know, the only good kill, right? The kidney.
The kidney.
She wakes up.
I don't know. I love when the guy gets beat to death with the camera lens, and then it rolls into frame, and you see his face like...
I love that, wait, dude, that scene makes me so funny. She's the
I was so dude. Mad when Simon got killed. I was like, Simon should be the star of this movie, and he should be like dismissively French to everyone the whole time.
She has the boom mic, and they're doing that scream during that, and then Simon gives the faintest scream, and she's like, oh, something's wrong. Like, and it's so far away from the room they're screaming.
She can hear it even though she's got her like noise canceling headphones.
That's what I didn't understand. Did she hear it in her headphones? But no,
just the decimal went up. I thought she
heard it through like the it was connected to the camera, and she heard the scream in the camera, and it was in the headphones.
That is a good kill. That's a creative shot.
Attention
too.
To details. But when that lady wakes up from the bath, right, and the killer's there, and she hides, and she calls fucking 911, and a Shane smoking operator answers the fucking phone.
Oh yeah, real funny, hon.
Instantly dismisses this woman that is about to fucking die.
I thought that was funny.
Two topics back to tropes, like 911 calls in fucking films are the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, I never believe them.
I've been 7 years old. Talking... I called 911 and didn't say a thing, and they showed up my door like 10 minutes later.
Like TJ's saying,
but still, it's like
he's fucking stalking with like the fucking mic. She's like, "Fuck you! Mike, I hope you die," and she actually does. With the sharpest windowsill in the world. That's another thing that Hollywood has. Like, all those windows are going to destroy you. Like, that
was
like,
what I did love in that scene, though, when she's trying to get out and he grabs her by the cut and pulls the cut. I do. That was a great little, like,
she grabs onto the barbed wire. Like, it.
Yeah.
It's,
And I can't remember everybody, it was all the people that worked on. The dead guy's movie, right? So she was like,
the tortured artist movie, yeah. Because the director, the professor, wanted to take credit for the movie.
Yeah.
There's a good movie in here.
He was going to turn that movie in and say it was his and do press for it, and then somehow explain that every single person who starred in the movie was dead. It's good. Oh, they can't be here on the press tour because they're all dead.
I think we got it.
That's a good story.
I even think they ruined.
I imagine Regis Philbin going like, "So everybody's dead on your movie. Huh? Tell us about that."
Wow, it's a real life tragedy.
It's crazy. I can't believe that.
Tell us.
Dead.
Did you meet
John? How many funerals have you been to?
No, what I want to.
We should do more impressions on this.
What I want to mention though with it is
pretty good.
Loretta Devine's character Reese, who's in the first one, they like ruined her character too, because It's
they
like
make her a terrible cop in this and retroactively a terrible cop in the first one.
Because the first one, she's like, I got you, baby. Like, I'm protecting you. I believe you and everything. This, she's immediately like, fuck out of here. I don't care. It's as if the actions of the first movie.
No, crazy white lady.
Also, she's like,
gun.
She is like neglecting her duties fully, like just watching TV on the security camera.
She's watching coffee on every single
coffee
camera.
And Foxy Brown, baby. Blackfoot.
Yeah.
Like, she's so addicted to Blackfoot Station movies
and
that
I love.
She can't do her job, man.
Well, it's like by the time you're done, you think back on the way she talks about how like. She wouldn't, you know, lie or whatever. It's like, no, they probably just fired you for incompetence because like 8 people got murdered on the campus you were supposed to be guarding.
Dude, I fucking
laughed.
Dude, I laugh so fucking hard when the tortured artist is like drinking and smoking in the porch, and she comes over and he's like, I'm done, I'm fucked, I don't have any money, I can't. And she's like, well, do you know any DPs that could help me out on my problem? I don't give a flying fuck about you. Can you
like again? They really captured the like self-involved nature of a film student.
And I was so distracted by Joey Lawrence's lips, like they were glossed to the tits, man. They were shiny.
There
when
was
he
as
was
much
like,
gloss
like,
on his lips as there was frost in his tips.
Yes, that's it. When he was menacing her, he's like, I know who you are. Fuck you, bitch. And I was like, just staring at his lips. It's like, oh my God, those are some sexy fucking lips.
I just
want to
kiss him. Just give me a kiss.
You're like, oh my God, so plumped. Give me a show on E.
How do you think he got Melissa and Joey?
That was I was trying to get there. I forgot.
Wasn't Melissa Joan Hart's lazy eye? I tell you that much.
No, dude. There's a Sabrina the Teenage Witch and that 70s Show crossover. There's an episode where Melissa Joan Hart is in there and the bully, the Allie or Shelby or something, like the bully of the Sabrina the Teenage Witch,
the dark haired one.
Yeah, both of them appear on the show, and they go out on a date with Fess and the rapist.
But
yeah,
are
I
they...
remember that she turns out to be like the slutty friend. It's
yeah,
like a twist.
Very cool. Very cool.
Dude, I was always like, I was astonished by this girl's nerve or her nerve of steel, because she legitimately witnessed 2 people get murdered on screen. Like, she saw those 2 murders.
Yeah.
And she was just like, well, you know, we gotta frame this fucking shot, man. Let's get those screens in.
Yeah, I was really confused at how they, like, passed over Simon. Like, they have video evidence of Simon getting attacked and murdered, right?
Mm-hmm. Because she took the tape with her, and then she got attacked by the killer,
they also do another trope in this, going back to the earlier topic, that like doesn't always work great, and it doesn't work here. The death and then instant cut to a funeral of people congregating and be like, well, you know, things must happen, like it was just his time. Like, they do that here. It's the same thing with like you know, Nightmare on Elm Street, things like that, which is done like the immediate cut to the funeral to be like, we are grieving the person.
Yeah,
but now more deaths have to happen, and they don't get funerals. Also,
right.
I did love the line. I truly did. When the professor is revealed in the end, and he's the bad guy, which is very, very fucking obvious. It's like, why are we doing a dark meeting inside of like a dungeon? Why is there no police involved in this Scooby-Doo conspiracy investigation? But he's like, I need those prints on this gun because I'm going to send you, you're going to be in Lesbo prison. And that fucking line just fucking killed me. He's like, you're going to be in Lesbo prison. And I was like, all right, cool.
Lesbo prison.
That's a line. That's the line that he went for.
Amazing.
And what about the power behind that fucking bullet?
He fired it like through a wall.
Fucking flew 10 feet back, and he...
Well, that's because she had the gold trim. That gold trim really helped them.
I don't know.
She actually, like, she didn't fire and bang it like that. It's like, full, and it's like,
Yeah, dude, like, his whole chest should have exploded.
They really
the force that knocked him back.
Yeah. They really phoned this one in.
I feel like we're skidding towards the end right now. So you want me to go to the ratings phase, or you have something else?
Does anyone have a thought that didn't get out? Anybody have anything left to say?
Do you guys want to guess the budget?
Yeah, go ahead. I want to say $65 million budget.
No, I think they would have. This is still the era where they were spending less on sequels, even if the first one was successful. So I'm going 10.
Okay. And how much do you think it made?
Oh, how much did it make? Ugh, 50.
I said 26 and 50. 26 and 50 for me.
I said okay. 65 and 50.
Okay, it is 14 and 38.6. Right. So it's the same budget as the first movie.
Yeah.
Just with not the same talent writing.
Right, I was going to say, where'd the money go?
And then,
all the Hart Bochner, I guess.
And then it did not perform how they thought it would. And kind of surprised that this time it did die off. Like, does you could have been.
Does this like fall in the range of being Urban Legends 2, but an urban or a sequel, which is called, you know, the main title with the dot dot
final cut.
Subsequent title. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, instead of just being like Urban Legends 2.
Well, it's interesting, and this is good, and then we can go on the rating page. I'm glad you brought that up. Is the intro credit puts a 2 in there. And then it, like, watch Urban Legend come up on the screen, right? They fade in each of those letters. They put a 2 in there. Mm. And then they flip it, and it says Final Cut. So it was like, and this is also the part of being lazy. At some point, someone probably said Urban Legend 2, and they were like, we don't know what to do.
Whoa.
There's a fucking 2 in there that flips.
Wait. Don't the resters ask for a final cut of a movie? Is this what they're trying to say in the title?
Well, wait, is that final cut a reference to the fact that it takes place in the film school?
Wait.
They're going to the ratings!
Guys, this movie's pretty meta. Her movie was called Urban Legends in the film.
Autobahn, yeah. First stop. This one is, and no offense, Brian, I picked bad ones.
Yeah, this is up there.
This is stinker.
Is up there.
3.4 fucking Anthony Anderson's gap teeth in the fucking film. Like, it just this guy. Look him up, people. Check him out in his college years and let me know if you still like Anthony Anderson.
Kangaroo Jack, buddy. Don't disrespect Anthony.
Check him out.
I did like they had the trope here of where you have like two weird guys who like work together all the time and can do anything. You know, they were real they felt like Parker and what's his name from Alien, you know what I mean? They felt like Yaphet Kotto and Harry Dean Stanton very much had that vibe.
They were the Randy character of this movie.
Yeah.
Except they weren't telling you. Joe.
Yeah, so I was thinking actually right to where TJ was. I'll go 3.6 because I did have to spend money on the Blu-ray. Hitchcock Awards, 3.6 Hitchcocks.
Yeah.
Arrested and Hellraiser. Brian.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty bad. It's really just kind of run of the mill and boring and like trying a little too hard to be like clever with its trick. That's the real problem. They're like trying to be too twisty, and like having just rewatched the first one, they really like strayed away from the cool, like actually deaths related to the urban legends. Like, that's what we wanted, that's what we want to see. That was the gimmick. Why is this about a movie? This is dumb, this sucks. And also, your killer looks like a bobblehead. So, yeah, I give this like a 3 fencing masks.
He got so lazy giving these killers like an actual like face. There's like, nah, it's a.
Oh, like, really? I do understand the idea of a faceless killer can be very scary. That's fine, but like, it's just a dumb idea. Like, it just wasn't right.
It's
this is bad. This is bad. I think you guys are being generous with a 3. Honestly, I was engaged for maybe 30 minutes and then I was like, oh, I'm going to make fun notes. And I think I went, my eyes glazed over.
Yeah.
And I barely remember what happened in the movie. It's very fucking boring. I'm going to say a 2.5. Mm. 2.5, Simon's getting a boner just from the fact that there's lesbians in front of him.
The issue, not issue, but the thing is, this era of these like scream-filled horror movie ripoffs, there's so many enjoyable ones, even the bad ones, that no one should waste their time with this one.
Right, exactly. Like, you could watch Final Destination. You could watch The First Urban Legend. You could watch H2O.
You could watch,
Valentine,
which isn't very good.
Like, yeah.
But it's a fun Denise Richards movie.
Brian nailed it with having, like, they've completely lost it, having any urban legend to it. But also, if anyone wants to go back, I think Mac and Me beat this. So, for me, that's a win.
Damn,
buddy, I own both of them because physical media and good Blu-ray releases have my wallet.
I do love when a bad movie gets a good Blu-ray.
Yeah, Blu-ray's pretty solid.
Had to get that Candyman 3. Couldn't have resisted.
Yeah, yeah. I too bought the Candyman 3 after our conversation with the slip because I had to eBay that shit.
Hell yeah! I got the slip with mine. It's nice.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to put a slip in this conversation and let's talk about next episode. Usually we pick movies that we know are either good or bad, or we want to revisit, or we want to talk shit about it, or it's a fun drinking movie. But this time around, I went to the movies to see Smile, and we saw a trailer for this movie, and my wife was like, "We were watching that." And I was like, "Oh, that looks like a fucking fun movie. And I'm going to make the boys watch it." So we're watching Deadly Night, right? It's called Deadly
Violent
Night.
Violent Night.
With David Harbour as Santa Claus killing everybody. So, and that nudges John Leguizamo up the board.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
What's that, like our fourth Leguizamo now?
That's a fourth.
The Pest.
Romeo and Juliet.
We didn't do Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, we did.
No.
The Pest, Tu Wong Fu, and the last, and Super Mario.
Super Mario, and now.
And then Violent Night.
Violent Night.
All right. Well, Jordan is going on the Mount Rushmore.
So I'm excited. I think this is going to be our first topical. No, we did the Halloween.
We did.
No, that was a very special episode of Fear.
Oh, and we did Endgame. Yes.
Once again, those are two special episodes. This is the first. 5 years is the first of, like, we got to get to the theater.
I have a question. Yeah. Are we watching this movie at the same time and then going on to film after?
No. This is going to be part of our episode next time.
Just
we
see it before next episode.
Yeah. So you have 2 weeks to see it.
Yeah. Where can the people find you, TJ?
You guys are on Flavor City Film YouTube. I'm at TJ Dex. I'm going to be super positive now. Guys, I mean, watch the beginning of the video. You've seen it. I'm very vulnerable, I guess you would say. Just love me. That's it.
Go.
Give him the attention he deserves. You can find me here, Flavor State of Fear. I'm getting guests again, which is really nice. And so TJ just did an episode.
Joe looked at the prospect of a whole Flyboy lineup and he said, "You know what?
I
got
some
fucking guests on here."
No, the slate coming out TJ, we did an episode of The Gate. That was really fun.
Janine, that came out last week.
Janine the Machine, we recorded Better Watch Out last night, so you get your more holiday horror fixings. I record with a prominent TikToker on Thursday for
getting
Saw.
Getting that
youth contest. The Brian youths. Starr seems like a very nice man, but he spells Brian the wrong way.
Get him out of here.
And so we at least have a couple weeks, and then one of the Flyboys will fill in and we'll talk about something else.
Brian,
your lights behind you look incredible right now.
Thank you.
Hey man, you didn't say nothing about the snowman though.
That's a Nightmare on Elm Street blanket.
I can
see
that.
Anyway, Brian, you can find me at Chandanga1 and here.
Yeah, and you can find me at Herskules, and also here.
And
I'll be on Twitter till it dies, and I won't get on anything else. So.
Yeah. Same.
Yousef, say bye.
Bye. Oh, he shut the lights off.
He's just done. He's left.
Boy, it's a snowman.
Bye.
Bye.
See the snowman? It's turned on. Yeah, it looks good.